Totally blessed to hear from Brother Josh Burrito. I hope I said that right. When we first asked him, when we picked him up, I said, do we say burrito? And he said, no. So, we've had the pleasure of spending this last week with him, and he is going into pastoral studies for the deaf, which I thought was an amazing thing. And I'm just blessed to hear how the Lord has been using him and how the Lord has called him. So with that, we'll turn it over to Brother Josh.
Thank you so much for that little bit saying my name wrongly. Thank you. Really appreciate for that. It's Burrito, but I thank you. People in America, they call me Burrito. I didn't know what that was because coming from Kenya, I don't know what burritos are. So they said, let's go. We're going to have burritos. I'm like, huh? We're going to have burritos. I'm like, that sounds like my name. So we went to this place that everybody's serious. He's ordering a burrito, five-layer beefy burrito. I'm like, what? And then I realized it's the food, it's type of food. So my name is Joshua Burrito. The other name, if I try to say it, it's going to be a tongue twister for you guys. So I'll just leave that alone. But I really appreciate the privilege that I have this morning to minister here in this pulpit. I thank Pastor Brian for that opportunity. And tell you what, we've just found some amazing time here. Everybody, we're just meeting, talking to. We're just having a good time here. We're trying to make that so that we can stay here for one more week. But I don't know. He doesn't want us to stay in that basement still. So we're just going to pack our bags next week and leave. But if you guys can intervene, we'll really appreciate. We'd love to stay in Idaho. I mean, the weather is right now 80 degrees. That's good. Last week was 60. I was freezing. So I appreciate that. Turn to your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. I'm going to be preaching a message today entitled, Ye Are the Light of the World. Ye are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 16. Pastor read from 13 to 20. That's good. He put me already in context, so I don't have to go back. The Bible says, for verse 14, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. All believers, I believe, should be radiant for the gospel of Jesus Christ. All Christians should be radiant for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word never changed, but it changes lives. Lord, we just pray as we'll be handling the truth that we may handle it well and just present the right truth that's from the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that we'll see life changed. We pray for this week and whatever you have for us, Lord, we pray that all things that we'll do this week may return honor and glory to your name. Bless this service. Help us to understand your Word and just fill me with your Spirit that I may communicate the right words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Could you just imagine how it will be to hear Jesus speak or preach? You know, you just sit there and Jesus is preaching. I can't believe how that will be. But just imagine this. Jesus preached and he never misspoke a word. He never says, oh, sorry, guys, let me rephrase it. This is how I was supposed to say it. Or he never went all through preaching and said, I'm sorry, I was out of context. He was just perfect in what he's saying. And in this sermon we read today, Jesus says this telling one, says, ye are the light of the world. There's some intensity there. He means it. The Bible says every time he taught, the people marveled at his doctrine. Matthew 7:28 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were marveled. They were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught as one having authority and not as the scribe. So this was Jesus saying, ye are the light of the world. And compelling these disciples to be radiant for the light, which is Jesus Christ, which is the gospel that he came to present in the world. What is Jesus really trying to say here? Why did he take this metaphor of light? Why did he use this metaphor? He used the salt first and then he came to the light. Just think about it. How light is important to you? How is light important? How is light important to you? When we first moved into my home country, my village where we live right now, it's growing to be a town. At least people have cell phones and everything. And we did not have electricity. And the moment it's just 6 o'clock and the sun sets down at 6, not like here, 9:30, it sets at 6, every place just goes pitch dark. And you know what? There's no more activity going on. We can't play soccer no more. We can't go hunting. We can't do all these things. Basically, we just leave that time for other nocturnal animals like snakes and other stuff. Because there's no light. Can you imagine in America if we didn't have light today? You cannot drive at night. We could be here tonight, but we'll have more wider windows than what we need. So why did he use light? Because of the intensity of the light. Because this light, what it plays part in our lives. There's something more than that light. So it's trying to compel us to be radiant for the light of Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing I want you to notice here is the calling of the believer. There's the calling of the believer. Who's Jesus speaking to right now? He's speaking to the disciples. The disciples are people who are called by Jesus to be his followers. So how are we going to apply to us this in the 21st century? We are followers of Jesus. So we in this call, if we apply to us here, we are the followers of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is telling his followers, ye are the light of the world. He's speaking to his disciples. We are his disciples. We're supposed to bear their light. So ye are the light of the world. It's a calling to the believer. It's a calling to the Christian. It's a calling to that person who saved. You are the light of the world. This calling of a believer is a reality. Jesus is not saying you can be light of the world, or he's not saying you may be the light of the world, or he's not saying you were the light of the world. He's saying you are the light of the world. It's talking in the present tense right now where you are. You are the light of the world. The moment you got saved, you're delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Colossians 1:13 tells us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we are no longer in the darkness no more. We are in light. Ephesians 5:8 tells us, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was light of men. So we are bearing that light, the light of Jesus Christ. Notice this, we are not reflecting it. Jesus gave us that. We have that whole power to shine the light from inside outward. So it's not a matter that we're just pointing the light out. Jesus has given us that power to shine the light. We got to shine that light. Luke 1:79 says, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So we're supposed to shine this light. Who are we shining the light to? Obviously, where there's darkness. We're going to shine the light where there's darkness. In Acts 26, Jesus is speaking and he tells Paul, he's talking about the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to give them light from darkness, to turn them from light unto darkness. So that's what the believers are supposed to do. When we shed the lights, we're opening the eyes of the unbelievers, and so that they can see the light. So we are supposed to be radiant for Jesus Christ by this calling of us believers. Why? Because it's our calling. And this calling is a reality. It's not only a reality, but it's reassuring. Notice this. God wants to use you fully. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what type of thing you do. God wants to use you fully. In those days, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were spiritual leaders. And that was their job, to just, help people in spiritual matters. And a high-ranking Pharisee or scribe was given a name, Nirola. That was supposed to mean the light, the lampstand of the world. So they had this title. These were elites. These were people who know the scriptures. So they were supposed to shine the light to people who don't know about the scriptures. So they were given this title, Nirolas. But Jesus is talking to disciples. These were considered nobodies from nowhere with nothing. He's speaking to them and saying, ye are the light of the world. What made Jesus leave these elites right here and take the disciples and say, you are the light of the world? These ones who know much, nothing about them, you are the light of the world. Why? Because Jesus is ready to use anybody. No matter what place you are, no matter what position you have, you're supposed to shine this light. A story is told of a blind man who went down. I don't know, I think this story must have been in the United States. I don't have it really enough in my mind, but this guy boarded a train and he went a couple miles down to have eye surgery. He has been blind for maybe since he was born. And after the surgery, he was successful. So he was coming back home, but he used the train and he happened to sit in a on a window seat. So while he was there, he's looking outside, and you know, even in the when we board the plane these days, you know, they have different type of passengers. There's those who just come and they're like, hey, and they're just happy, they wanna say hi, and they just who just come and open their magazine and they'll just be like that, you know. And this was kind of it. So this guy, the blind man, was he was now happy about everything. He sees the waitress like, Hando, how you doing? Nice to see you. Look at your hair. Look at your teeth. Look at your eyes. And the guy here is just opening the eyes and he's just getting mad at this guy. He's driving me crazy. They kept going. He looks out of the window. He sees a puff of flowers. He's like, wonderful. What? Look at those flowers. They're beautiful. This guy's just like, what in the, where is this guy from? They kept going. They passed through the tunnel. He sees another city by the side. Wow, look at that. That is awesome. And then he saw the sunset. And he was just exploding, jumping and saying, yes, look at this. And this guy was getting over it. So he said, I'm tired. I'm going to change seats. So he went and talked to one of the hostesses that was there. And he said, I'm tired. You put me in a psychic somebody with sitting next to me. And I'm not going to stand this. This is driving me crazy. So the waitress was the hostess was kind of polite and said, may I talk to you? And he said, okay, yeah. And he said, listen, this guy has a history. Let me tell you. He was blind since he was born. And he just got his eyesight. Now that he has seen stuff that he was just hearing about, he has seen red, he has seen orange, he has seen blue, he's excited about it. He's never seen the way you saw before. And you know what? This other passenger was just broken down and he calmed down and went back on the seat and let the blind man do what he was doing. He's not blind now. You know what? This guy was excited about the light that entered into his eyes because that's how we perceive images. He was excited about this light. The same way Christians today, we're supposed to be excited about the light that we received from Jesus Christ. We are saved. We don't want to tell people about it. We think it's offensive. We're supposed to be excited. I want to tell you about Jesus. Amen. You're supposed to be radiant for Jesus Christ. It's reassuring. But also, this is our responsibility. Jesus did not say, you are a light of the world, but he said you are the light of the world. Specific, you are the light of the world. It's not you are just giving us a maybe. He said you are the light of the world. So it's our responsibility. We are supposed to bear. Just think about it. How many people are right now in the world? How many? What's the world population? About 7 billion. 7 billion people. That's how much we have in the world right now. But let's just look at more statistics. How many know about the truth of Jesus Christ? We kind of try to refurbish these statistics every time we try to refresh it. And it doesn't move a lot more difference. But 3/4 of the world do not know about Jesus Christ. 3/4 of the world. And this I'm talking about the salvation part of it. They don't know about Jesus. They have no clue about salvation. 3/4 of the world. Let's go on. A half of the world population have never heard the name Jesus. A half of the world population never heard the word about Jesus. We were in a church, I think 3 weeks ago. And after the invitation, this kid came behind and said, I had someone mention the name Jesus, and they're mentioning that here so much. And she asked the counselor, this was a small kid, he said, isn't that a bad word? Because we're living in a society where the name for Jesus is even being used as a curse word. And this is the world we're living in, where we're supposed to shine the light. We have a responsibility to shine that light. Think about your world. Who's around your circle? Think about it right now. That person you know who's not saved and you've never told him or her about Jesus Christ. You better do something about that. Because we're handling souls. This eternity. It's either heaven or hell. What did he do about it? We're supposed to be radiant about the life and what Jesus Christ did for us. Are you shining that light? Are you shining that light? I remember when I was preparing the messages one time in the camp where we train at in Wisconsin. I'm just going around the parking lot preaching to trees and stuff, you know. And there's a kid who just rode a bike past me, and he passed me, and then he came back, you know. And, you know, most of the time you're like scared. I want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. And he was playing heavy metal music. You could hear it from outside. I'm like, how does those ears perceive that music? It was just too strong. And then he came. He started talking to me. What are you doing? You know, and we sat down. We started having a chat. By the end of the conversation, I told him, did you go to church? He said, no. Why don't you go to church? Nobody goes to church in our home. Why? He said, and then I explained the plan of salvation. I said, do you want to do it right now? And the kid said, "That I want to do it. If there's a way, I want to do it." I said, wait for me. I have to go get my Bible. My Bible was way far, so I had to go all the way back to the building and get the Bible. The kid was waiting for me. You know, that broke my heart. We've been playing in that park. We've never talked to any of the kids. And this kid, I just talked to him once, and he just wants to get saved. And that kid gets saved. Glory to God. That taught me something. You're not radiant for the light of Jesus Christ. You better go and tell people about Jesus Christ. So it's our responsibility. But notice, Jesus has now told us this is our calling. It's a believer's calling. And then he moved and he says, he cautions the believer. Now there's a caution for believer. He gives us two illustrations. Read there, it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that in the house, unto all that are in their house. All right? So he's giving us a caution. He uses two examples. There's a city on a hill, and there's a candle in a house. The point he's making is that to be radiant, for the light to spread that light out, it's not supposed to be hid. It's supposed to be exposed. Can you imagine if this lights right here were tied with something? It won't make sense because the light will not come out. Yeah, if you get blindfolded, you're not going to see anything. There's no light entering into your eyes, and you're not going to perceive those images. So once we have this light, why are we hiding it? Why are we staying with it? Why is the light just staying in us rather than spreading out? Every Christian should obviously be ready to spread to shine that light. We should be ready to shine the light wherever place we go, every step we make, every people we meet, you know, every eyeball you meet. If you go to Boise City or you go to Pocatello City, right? Every eyeball you meet has an eternity. Every person you just see has an eternity that he has to spend to. What are you doing about it? Does that thought come to your mind every time? You don't have a candle and just hide it. Let it shine. So Jesus is cautioning the believer, but sometimes we fail. We fail a lot of times to shine this light. Though it makes no sense to hide it, we still hide it. I won't be driving down the street at night with my lights off. I'm going to crash. I want to shed the light. Show me where I'm going. Shed the light to the believers. Show them where they're going. It's eternity. It's for real. But you know why we fail to do this? One of the things we fail to do this is because of a sinful life we live. You know, for a Christian to live a life of sin is contrary to what the gospel requires out of a Christian. The gospel requires more than what we used to be. We were darkness. We were living in darkness. Now we're translated into light. Walk as children of the light. But we have those weights that are pulling us back. They're pulling us back. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Think about the world we're living right now. How much evil is going on. It's unbelievable. One of the pastors told me, our age group, my age group, the 20s, 18s, and we're going to face a lot of rebellion when it comes to preaching. Very soon. Very soon we're going to face a lot of rebellion. And that, you know, it's a little bit scary, but we got to trust in God. What are we supposed to do? We have to trust in God. We're living in a very evil world. And if we don't shine the light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer as the generations go by. Are we shining the light? About 3 weeks ago in Milwaukee, 12-year-old girls, they were watching, they were on the internet and they saw something. Apparently they call it a game. And this game was so obsessive. But the last part of the game involves murder. So the kids got obsessed with this game and they were practicing for weeks now. And then they had to do the last part of the game, which included murder. And they took one of their friends, guided her to the bush and, you know, just like playing for fun. And these are 12-year-olds. And they took a knife and stabbed the other girl 19 times on the chest. That girl slipped to eternity. That's how evil the world we're living in right now. 12-year-olds killing each other. About, I think, Wednesday in my country, Kenya, another village just attacked a village and killed 60 people. Just killed them all. That's how evil we're living, the world we're living right now. I mean, people take murder as a hobby. It's something I do for fun. We have some things that are just going out, and it's crazy what you see out there. That's the world we're living out right now. Are we going to shine the light, or are we going to hide our light? Titus 3:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Let me ask you a question, and just have an answer in your mind. What do you like doing during your free time? You have it. Where would you like to go if you had a vacation? Where would you just love to go and stay and spend some time? You know where you'd go. Who would you love to spend more time with? Who, just figure in your mind, who would I love to spend the most time with? And then the last question, who do you want to have the strongest relationship with? You got your answers, you know what you're thinking, and then I'm going to ask you the next question. In all the things that you just thought around your mind right now, where is God? Where is God? You know, we're living in a world where we get easily carried away by stuff. Things just pass by us. The Bible tells us, for men will be lovers of their own selves. And then later on it tells us, having a form of godliness, but denying it. We know we're supposed to do right. But some things just cover us and we forget to shine the light. We're hiding it because of the things that pass by us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Jesus turned to the disciples and tells them, "Ye are the light of the world." He had confidence in them. That's what he saved them for. You're following me. You're my followers. You've claimed that by salvation. You're saved. You're supposed to be bearing a light. Story is told of a ship that was coming into Cleveland. And there was a storm, so the captain was really fighting hard to get to the shore and to dock the ship. So they're fighting. But they came close to the shore, and it was dark at night. There's lighting and everything. And he was close to the shore, but the captain was like, "I believe this is where we're supposed to dock." And one of his servicemen says, "Sir, are you sure? I don't think so. I don't see any light." He said, "I believe this is where we're supposed to dock. I don't see any light." Time went by. The storm is getting harder, so he's trying to get as much as he can to the shore. And he managed to get close to the shore. The captain was right down the shore. But he ran into mailbars and all this stuff that were in the dock, and the ship broke and it started sinking. About 230 people lost their lives. Do you know why? Because someone forgot to turn on the lights that night. Someone forgot to turn on the lights that night, caused the lives of 230-something people to die. Are you hiding that light within you? Are you supposed to shine that light? Yes, you are. But are you hiding it? If you're hiding it, you're supposed to be radiant for Jesus Christ. How many lives are going to hell? A lot of people are dying. Very many people are dying. 7 billion. It keeps adding, but it keeps... There's just subtraction every day. People are dying. They're going to hell. Are we going to shine this light? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we're supposed to abandon this life that is pulling us from shining the light and live a new life. The Bible tells us, put on Christ. But some people put on costumes rather than uniforms. You know, if I put on a costume, that doesn't represent what I am. It's just a pretense of what I am. If I wear a mascot, it doesn't mean I'm Bengals or what they call them. So if I wear a mascot, that doesn't mean I'm the real person in the mascot. I'm representing the mascot. No, it's just hiding it. It's just a pretense that I'm the object or the animal that is being portrayed here. But if I wear a uniform, if a military guy just entered here right now and is having a uniform, he's representing what he does. We're supposed to put on the uniform. Everywhere you go, are you going to face rebellion? Yes. The Bible tells us, yeah, we shall suffer persecution. But we're supposed to put on Christ. Let's forget about the costume. It's not our time to put on the costume. It's our time to put on Christ. Put on the uniform. People should know that man is a Christian. I see that light coming from that end. I see that light shining in this village. I see that light from that church. I know there's light over there. That's where I'm supposed to go. Are you shining the light? Forget about the sinful life and let's shine the light. Live that new man. Forget about the old man. Some people, they're not shining the light because of a sinful life. And some maybe of a selfish life. Now you might be saying, I'm not engaging in sinful lifestyle. And that's perfectly amen. If you're not engaging in a sinful lifestyle, but you're not sharing the light of Jesus Christ. Why is this? Because of the selfish life that we have in. I don't know, I can't remember the whole rules, but there's a rule, the baby rules. Not all babies, this apply to them. But you know, a baby, when something is new, it's mine. When something is colorful, it's mine. When something is working and it's moving nice, it's mine. If it's broken, it's yours. If you fix it, it's mine. If it stops running, it's yours again. And it keeps on going because the kids will want just that thing to be theirs. It's just mine. They have it. And that's the same kind. Some people have lived the same way with this salvation we have. We have saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He saved me. Amen. I'm good there. I'm not moving. I'm going to mark time right here. We don't want to share it. You know, this is a gift that we receive. It's a gift of God. So we're supposed to share it. Share this gift. Share it to the people. I mean, we are afraid because we are selfish. And some of just have that spirit of fear. We overcome with fear. Did you know what? Most of the time when you're trying to witness to someone and you're really overcome with your fear and you just make one more step and overcome that fear is when the witnessing is so successful. Because you just proved your faith. You just beat that block and went through it. The Bible tells us, For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. When you overcome that fear is when it just becomes successful. You know, this summer I'm going to be in the plane a lot of times, and most of the time I'll be sitting next to my partner. But in case of any other thing, I'll be sitting to somebody next to the plane. And you know, sometimes you sit next to somebody, like, I'll tell this story. I was coming from Kenya, my first time on the plane. from Kenya. My first time on the plane, my first time out of Kenya. And we're boarding a plane, and the plane is going to Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Definitely, I had two big Arab men sitting next to me, long beard, exactly what you see on TV as terrorists. And from just something that happened just there, this guy decided to threaten me. I'm as young as I can be, and he decided to threaten me. He's like, what's your name? I told him, my name's George. Where are you going? I'm going to New York. New York by yourself? Yes, I'm going to New York. Well, I got bad news for you. I said, bad news? Okay. He said, you know what? This plane is not reaching where it's going. I'm like, what? He looks like he's joking, but he looks like he's serious. He looks like he's playing with me, but he looks serious. You know, I'm just there. I'm like, what is he really saying? And then he looks at me, he's like, so we hit the turbulence. This is a big plane. We hit the turbulence, and the plane just starts shaking. He tells me, he said, you see what I'm saying? Close. I never knew planes get shaky. I knew a plane is a smooth ride and it goes. So when he told me close, it's almost falling down, I believed him at that point. I'm like, we are going down. Anytime I see the air hostesses leave, I feel like I want to talk to them, but he's right here and he's just sitting next to me. He's looking at me. And he kept scaring me all the way to the end. The plane's going down. I was scared for 5 hours in the plane. I didn't use the bathroom. I didn't do anything because it's my life. Did I leave home just to die? I should have stayed home. So I'm having all these questions in my mind, and I'm just going and I'm going. And then the plane touched down in Dubai, Arab Emirates. And I was like, wow, it didn't go down. So I didn't see this guy. He took his bag and he left. And then when I'm in the airport trying to find my next connecting flight, I see him. And he walks towards me. He said, oh, you made it? I'm like, yeah, I made it. He's like, you're lucky. I was wrong. The plane that we're boarding next is the one that's going down. I'm like, not again. But luckily enough, he came and he passed by, and he noticed I was really getting out of it. I'm like, I'm not boarding that plane. I'm just staying here. And he came back and he said, I was making fun of you. And he was an Arab guy. You know, that scared me a lot. And since that day, you know, every time I sit next to a person in the plane, I'm just like, I hope he's a good guy. You know, I hope we're going to have a good time. You know, some people just come and open their magazines and they're reading it, but they're not really. They're looking at you. They'll be like, I'm just like, and every time I pray, I just say, God, give them a heart. Let them just say something to me so that we can start a conversation. And you know, it works. Whenever you just pray like that, sometimes it works. And you just get into a conversation. You judge somebody by his face, you find out a very good conversation. And that's a very good time of witness. So that's one of my prayers this summer. I don't want to be sitting next to my partner every time. I want to get the opportunity to spread the light. Because that plane, who knows? That plane might not reach where it's going. Remember the plane in Malaysia? It was in Malaysia or Thailand. It didn't reach where it was going. The same way, we cannot reach where we're going. And amen? If that's God's will, that's fine. So what are you doing with this light? Every opportunity you get, every simple opportunity, we don't have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. Let's not be afraid of shining the gospel of Christ. You know, maybe it's not selfishness revealed in your fearfulness. Maybe it's just forgetfulness. You just get carried away by stuff. Maybe you just forget. You know, I wish I should have said somebody for that. I wish I just said something and it's gone. Let's try to remember that we're supposed to witness to people. Let's try to remember that we're supposed to shine the light in each and every place that we go. One preacher put it this way, said the most sobering reality today in the world is that people are dying and go to hell. He's right. That's the most sobering reality. People are dying and going to hell. You know, it's too late when you get to hell because you don't have a way to make it back. You're gone. As believers, we need to live not a sinful life, not a selfish life, but a life that is filled with a desire to spread the light. You don't want to shine that light in a distance of about 2 meters. You want to shine it as far as you can. Have you seen a lighthouse? A lighthouse will shine the light as far as it can so that the sailors can know where they have to go, where they cannot hit, and where they can do something. Let's try to shine the farthest you can. Maybe you're saying, hey, I shine the light. I've witnessed to people. You can go one more step. And guess what? Next year you're going to go another step. And you're going to see the fruits of that. There's an NBT evangelist, this is really applicable to me, who went to a church and started a teen rally. And teens, listen very careful. He started with a... He started a disappointing rally. He started with two people. But he thought and wondered, God, what do you have for me this week? Two people for real? Are we going to do all the fun? Are we going to play water night with two people? Pull the tubes with two people? All the things are going to... It's going to be two teams. You're the captain and you're the assistant captain and you're the... You know, you're the teams. So he was just worried about that and he said, God, please do something. What are we going to do this week? He prayed for those two who were there. And guess what? In the morning, Sunday morning, one of them got saved. Sunday night, the other one got saved. And they got radiant for Jesus Christ. They were just want to tell people. They want to share what they received. They started going around the town and inviting people. So every day they were doing this. So on Thursday, I think so, one of them, they said, today we're going all day because this is the last day. We got to go morning till evening. So the teen evangelist is like, oh, that's fine. You know, but we like to eat. Reach lunchtime, the evangelist is like, hey, can we take a break for lunch? And the teen said, no, we're not taking a break. We're supposed to keep going. And they kept going. They kept going, kept going. At the end of the meeting, 40 kids gave their life to Jesus Christ. You know, that's something you guys have a challenge this week to do. You can invite those friends you know about. There's some people you know. I mean, you go to school, you know exactly. This guy's not saved. Make a name. Send him a text. Call him. Tell him, just come. That's all you need to do. If you want to go a little more ahead and tie their legs and bring them there, that's up to you. I won't advise you to do that. But do something about it. Invite them. Let them come here. They need Jesus. We have to shine Jesus today in this world. You know what? We have the light in us. And as a believer, you have to shine the light. It's a reality. People are dying and going to hell. It's reassuring. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, which place you live. You can shine the light at any point. And it's our responsibility. If we don't shine the light, who's going to do it? Nobody's going to do it. Have you seen when when people work out their salvation, try to do their stuff, they do it with all their heart. But we Christians, we're failing to shine the light. I live close to a Muslim community. And on Friday, they worship up close to 8 times. 4 o'clock in the morning, they're in the mosque worshiping. Sometimes I look at myself and say, wow. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to be here at 4 o'clock in the morning. You just have to use every single time that you get an opportunity to do it and shine that light. And guess what? We're going to see the change. It's our responsibility. But if you have something that is pulling you from shining this light, some sinful behaviors, you got to lay aside. Because if I'm going to shine the light, I don't want a spot in me. We're not going to shine the light if we have a black spot in us. Let's take the black spots out and shine the light. But also, let's not be selfish about it. Let's share the gift that we received, and we'll see the fruit thereof. With that, may God bless you today. Thank you for listening.